Today we're going to meet one of the most interesting men who ever lived on this earth. You know, people are interesting. I find myself a kind of a people person. If we go shopping, I don't shop very long, and I'll find a bench or something, and I'll watch people. If we go to Disneyland, other people will go on a ride or something, and I'll sit on a bench and watch people. It's interesting. I remember very interesting people in my life. Well, here's a man who is very interesting. I hope you get to know him. His name is Solomon, and he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's find Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Go Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, and so on. The book of Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, and find it. And it'll be important that you find that chapter, and we'll all look at it. Ecclesiastes, chapter 1. I'm going to read the first chapter, then we'll get back into the introduction to the book. Now, here's what he says. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit is a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also arises and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor, man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of men, by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. What is crooked cannot be made straight. What is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, saying, look, I have attained greatness and have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is grasping for the wind, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. The wisest man who lived, Solomon. Now, about the book itself. The name is Ecclesiastes, which most believe means preacher, although there's some controversy about that. But he calls himself the preacher. The purpose of the book is to reveal that life apart from God is empty, meaningless, and useless. The author is Solomon, and we need to get to know him. Let's take a moment to get to know King Solomon a little better. Would you turn, please, to the book of 1 Kings and chapter 4 and verse 20. Now, it's important that you look at this so we can understand what kind of man we are reading and studying about. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 20. Now, Solomon was living about 1000 BC along in here. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 20, we read about Solomon, who is the son of David and Bathsheba. And David makes him king. Verse 20, Judah and Israel were as numerous as the sand by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and rejoicing. Now, David had established a great kingdom, and Israel was the most prosperous nation in the world. And so that's what this means. Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river to the land of the Philistines, as far as the border of Egypt. They brought tribute and served Solomon all the days of his life. Listen to this. Now, Solomon's provision for one day. Now, this is for his household, his governors, the people that lived in his palaces. One day's provision. 30 bushels of flour, 60 bushels of meal, 10 fatted oxen, 20 oxen from the pastures, 100 sheep, beside deer, gazelles, roebuck, and fatted fowl. One day. What a life. Verse 24. He had dominion over all the regions on this side of the river, probably Euphrates, from Tishpah even to Gaza, namely over all the kings on this side of the river, and he had peace on every side of him and all around him, and so on. And so, verse 29, God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Thus Solomon's wisdom excelled all the wisdom of all the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. And it speaks of his wisdom. This is Solomon, great king. Would you turn to chapter 11 of 1 Kings? 1 Kings chapter 11. Here's Solomon. He asked for wisdom. God gave it to him. But he's a human being. And one thing that's wonderful about the Bible, it reveals the truth about people. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women. Or some translations will say strange. Now, they're not strange because they're weird. They're strange because they're not Israelites. Solomon loved many foreign women as well as the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, who worshipped foreign gods. Verse 2, from the nations of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. And Solomon clung to these in love. God told them, go into the promised land, but do not intermarry. Not for racial reasons, but for spiritual reasons. A Christian is not to marry a non-Christian. The Israelites who worshiped God were not to intermarry with the nations around them who worshiped false gods. Solomon did not obey. Verse 3. Look at verse 3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, which are mistresses, and his wives turned away his heart. 700 wives. That's a chore. Verse 4. For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Interesting man is Solomon. And he's writing here his book. He had written Proverbs. And now he's teaching us something here. The themes of the book, you find out by reading the words that repeat. And he uses the word vanity. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. He uses the word profit and the word work. He talks about being under the sun and under heaven. So what he's saying here is life here on earth. And chapter 1, we ask the question, is life really worth living? Apart from God, it's vanity of vanities. Well, let's begin to look at the verses. Verse 1 gives us the identity of the author. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. So I believe that he is the author of this book, son of David and Bathsheba, the king of Jerusalem for 40 years. Now, here is his declaration about life under the sun. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, what does that word mean? It means emptiness. It means worthless. Futile, self-satisfaction, nothing left. It's all just there. Now that's a strong statement, that life is empty apart from God. In fact, for many we could say life is boring. Life is too boring apart from God. Everything wears out. Everything gets empty. And I remember before being a Christian, I thought about that a lot. That my quest in life was pretty much having fun. But everything got old and empty, and at the end of the day, there wasn't that much fun. And there had to be more to life than I was getting or seeing. And it was true. It's vanity of vanities. In verse 3, he asks about the profit or good. What comes out of all this work? You spend most of your life working. And I have been working over 60 years. And I probably had 20 different kinds of jobs in my life. What profit are those jobs? What good is it all in which we toil under the sun? And then in verse 4, he brings up the idea of the monotony of life, living in circles. He says the sun comes up, the sun goes down. The wind comes along and it goes back to its place. The rivers run into the sea and the sea is not full, and the rivers and so on. Do you ever hear anybody complain of being bored? Children, young people, adults? Well, it's boring. Well, he's saying here about creation. There's nothing new about it. But this is the way God has arranged it. And you know, as I was studying this week, I came across just an awesome thought in a magazine, an advertisement. What if God taught biology? Wouldn't that change the world? How many of you have had a class in a government school on biology? And by government school, I mean public school. Yeah. How many of you were given a solid idea of creation in that class? No one. What if God taught biology? And you understood that the sun and the rivers and the wind are under his control. The monotony of life can be there apart from God. And then he goes on to talk about the dissatisfaction of life. The eye looks and lusts, but it's never satisfied. You have to look again. You know, years ago there used to be a cigarette called Chesterfield. And the advertisement was, they satisfy. But they didn't. The people who smoked them had to keep smoking one after another. They didn't satisfy. Nothing satisfies our eye. And it says the ear hears, but it doesn't really hear. We're always searching for something new. Talking about the monotony of life, nothing new. And in verse 12, he talks about his experience. I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. Now, that's a big quest. It's one thing to learn about one subject, but to try to learn about all that is under the sun. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Now, he links some knowledge with wisdom, but wisdom is not necessarily the accumulation of knowledge. Wisdom is not necessarily just having information. Wisdom is the use of common sense. That is wisdom. That is why you could have the most educated people in the world who are very foolish. You can have uneducated people who are very wise because they use common sense. And for a while Solomon had all this wisdom, he didn't have much common sense later on. So his conclusion is in verses 14 and 15. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And my heart goes out to unbelievers because I know what they're going through and how empty and how futile life is. And how desperate is that search to have something that satisfies. And they can't have it. They can't grasp it. Because there is nothing out there. And Solomon's conclusion is in the last chapter. We'll get to that. But basically he says, nothing in and of itself will satisfy. Nothing. It wears out. No thing. No pleasure, no relationship. There is nothing gained apart from God. Now this ought to strike home to our heart this morning, to cause us to appreciate being a Christian. How wonderful it is to have your life filled with a person who satisfies, and that person is Christ. No human being can satisfy us. Only Christ, as he fills our heart and mind. He is the one who gives us joy. He gives us meaning. He gives us purpose. And our time and heart spent serving him is profitable and is gain. And that's what we go for. Apart from God, there's no gain. When David wrote the psalm, he said in Psalm 1, the unbeliever is like the chaff which the wind blows away, and he's referring to the people with the grain, that they would throw the grain on a blanket and lift up the four corners, and the true grain would fall back, and the chaff would blow away. Had no purpose, had no value. An unbeliever's life is like that because in the end, it's nothing but an eternal hell. Wasted life. Now we need to be careful as a believer. The tragic thing that a person will go through this life and wind up in eternal judgment. We need to be careful how we spend our time so that we don't live in waste, but redeeming the time because the days are evil. And make the most of every day that we have to worship and serve our God. And love and encourage each other. And not waste a day in hate or bitterness or lack of forgiveness or let opportunities pass by that God gives us. Solomon had it right. It's empty. Apart from God, there is no value. And he states that at the close of his book and at other parts. And this is how he closes it. Chapter 12, verse 13. He writes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. Here's the summary of life. Now, to fear God means to give we who are believers do not fear God in the sense of wrath. The wrath has been removed. But this is reverence, a holy respect for God. Fear God and keep His commandments. Follow His ways, for this is what it's all about. Otherwise, we miss out on life. What a tragedy to go through life, never know the truth, never know the greatest person we can ever know in the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about interesting people, and Solomon is interesting, but he's nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ. In getting to know Him, visiting with Him, talking with Him, spending time with Him, that's why it's important to start every day in the Word of God and in prayer and in communion and visiting with Christ, the Son of God, the Lord, our Savior, and being with Him. In the book of Acts in chapter 4, there's an interesting statement about Peter and John. Have been arrested by the city magistrates for preaching the gospel. And when the city leaders were with them, there's this statement. They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Interesting. When people meet us, do they get the sense that we have been with Jesus? Or have been wallowing in ourself or in our circumstances? What great lessons we will learn in the book of Ecclesiastes. I hope you'll read it this week. And in chapter 2, we get into one of the most important lessons we'll ever learn in our life that Solomon shares with us. So we look forward to that. Now, Lord, we pray that You'll put Your blessing and favor upon this text of Scripture and let it sink into our hearts and into our life and cause us to serve You heartily and faithfully and learn how to serve You well. Lord, help us not to live our life in vain, centered around self, but to live for You and for Your people. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.